This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Right here, right now, on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Right Here, Right Now on Joy 94.9. What an evening.
It's been good.
I'm going off like a frog in a sock.
Yeah, he's going off like a firecracker here at Joy.
Now, Right Here, Right Now, Joy's show for beating isolation through music, entertainment and talk, which we've done a lot of tonight. Sorry, I had to take a breath.
Yeah, it is a mouthful.
I'm slightly breathless.
And it's smack bang on 8:30 here.
Now, I just want to do a shout out. We've had Mark from Brisbane actually send us in a message. I just want to say, hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Good to hear from you again.
Yeah.
Of course, if you would like to contact us here at Joy 94.9, you can do so by emailing us like Mark did.
Absolutely.
onair@joy.org.au. You can also call us. 1300 Joy 949, or you can SMS us, Brian.
Yes, it's 0427 Joy 949. At any time of the night, send us a text or give Robert a ring. Give him something to do. 1300 Joy 949.
Get him off the Tetris.
That's the one.
He's just out of control with that. Now, if you're aged 12 to 26 and you feel that you might be at risk of becoming homeless in New South Wales, there's a support network out there for you. 2010 is a community-based, non-profit, New South Wales-based organisation who work with people of diverse genders and sexualities. They aim to be a beacon of strength and acceptance by supporting individuals to build up their own resilience and achieve their potential. The organisation strives to be known as a place of excellence in leadership, education and support. We're joined on the phone this evening by Executive Director of 2010, Brett Paradise. Welcome to Right Here, Right Now, Brett.
Yeah, thanks. I always like to say I didn't make up Paradise, by the way. I was born with it.
Oh, it's actually a pretty awesome name, so kudos to you.
You're not going
to
change it, are you?
I know. Now, tell us a little bit about the services that are offered by 2010.
Yeah, well, 2010 started over 30 years ago where, you know, with most major cities, there's always been a bit of an exodus for young gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people moving towards the city. And so a community group of at that stage sort of saw that there was a real need around young people arriving and not really having accommodation. So they started a refuge over 30 years ago and soon got some funding. So we've now, 32 years later, really looking at doing a whole lot of stuff around education and advocacy, counselling, housing support, mental health issues and therapeutic work with families and young people.
Great. Now, Brett, just... you mentioned about young people arriving. So were you inferring that there was an influx of people coming into Sydney or New South Wales that needed a home?
Absolutely. Look, I guess Darlinghurst, which ironically, well, not ironically really, was the postcode 2010, and that's where we got our name, was the real hub. It became the Oxford Street area in Sydney. So it became a place where people have always come together, a little bit differently to Melbourne, who've always kind of had a bit of a mix of places that people went to. But in Sydney, it's always had a bit of a hub. That's changed over the years, but it's still there. There is still a sense that people... If, you know, the country towns that they're living in or the smaller regional cities aren't quite as, ready to accept them, they feel like there's a, you know, that they will go to the city and find a place to be.
Okay. And do you think that the incident of rainbow homelessness increased around about the time of Stonewall?
Look, I guess it became an issue where people really saw it. I guess, you know, what we've seen over the years is that... The more we see prominence of, in representation in the media, or that there's, you know, a growing acceptance around having rights for LGBTIQ and A people, then you see some more people actually readily accepting that they should be able to come out. When they do that, And of course, they don't always get the responses that they want. They want to find a community that they can be accepted for who they are with. So people try to find a place to be themselves.
And I guess for me, it makes me think, with all of this work that is going to, or the activism that is going towards marriage equality in this day and age, it makes me wonder if perhaps there could be an increase of rainbow youth needing to find emergency accommodation after, you know, marriage equality does get through the government.
Look, I guess, you know, we're on a trajectory. Yeah, for sure. There's no doubt that we've, you know, seen increased rights, and you know, people are seeing better likelihoods of you know, they're in their life. So, particularly, you know, if you're a, you know, very binary focused gay man or lesbian girl, you're probably going to be accepted a lot more. But, you know, there are still some families that really hold on to their cultural traditions, and there are still families that really haven't really been able to accept that. So we're still seeing young people who are actually being marginalised from their families, or aren't really yet able to feel comfortable to tell their families who they are, but they still need to express who they are as a person.
So what sort of people would use the 2010 service?
Look, it's a really broad range, and one of the things that we've really tried to do with 2010 is not just make it about vulnerable young people. So we do a whole lot of group activities and support services that engage a whole range of young people of diverse genders or sexuality. So that it's not just about coming there because you need support. It might be just coming because you want to connect with some friends or do some activities as well. But we do see a whole lot of young people who are coming to us who are having issues with their family, or they have been kicked out of home, or they have disengaged with school really early, and they're finding it really hard to maintain or find employment or to engage with education, because what we've seen throughout the years is that, you know, with bullying in schools and people, young people aren't really able to feel safe in their education, so they leave fairly early, a lot of them, and, you know, that obviously doesn't set them up well for a fairly stable life. So they're finding it hard to find accommodation because they can't maintain a good income.
With all of the homeless youth in New South Wales, in your opinion, how many of those would identify as rainbow?
Look, there really needs to be a lot more research, but the research has been done out there. There's been some great studies that have looked at Australia, UK and the US. And what we know, like, if you actually took what we know as a percentage of young people who might identify as not being heterosexual, and that would be somewhere around the 16% mark, which is higher than what you would see in the general population, that we talk about 10 or 11%. About 16%. That would be in Australia somewhere around 4,500. But when we look at the research around homeless young people, it's actually markedly increased around young people of diverse genders and sexuality. It's somewhere around or below 40%. So with 26,000 young people in Australia every night not having a safe place to sleep, we could be looking at about 9,000 people in Australia. So it's a pretty significant problem.
Oh, it's just tragic too. Like, just so emotional to hear the numbers. It just flabbergasts me.
It's bad enough to think that one young person wouldn't have a safe place to stay, but to think that 9,000... The interesting thing is most of them don't actually know that they're actually homeless. A lot of them will be just staying with people, putting themselves in vulnerable situations, but they don't have control over their home. So they don't know how long they're going to be there. They can't sort of, you know, be the first in the shower or get ready to go to work or know that they can get up and be ready for school, because they're kind of reliant on the charity of other people that they're staying with, or not, you know, annoying their friends so that they can still sleep on their couch.
Now, Brett, I've got a question for you. What's it like for you when you see you're case managing a particular case, and you've seen a very positive outcome? What's it like in return for you to see someone come out positive out the other end and have, you know, a good ending?
Look, we do see it, and we do see it every day, and it is an amazing feeling to know that with support and with you know, the right encouragement, young people can really make changes in their lives. You know, we don't take responsibility for making those changes. The young people do it themselves. And one of the things that I'd really like to make clear is that being gender diverse or sexually diverse is not a problem in itself. Obviously, it's all of the stuff that goes around it and the way people are treated that makes it a problem. So, you know, you're not vulnerable because you are gender diverse or that you're, you know, sexually diverse. You might become more vulnerable because of a whole lot of set of circumstances in your life. We see some amazing results and, you know, I guess that sense of after 32 years of being in the service, we see people coming back years later, still connecting with the family to tell us how well they've done. I had somebody turn up the other week, and I didn't work with this person themselves, and they just came back and they were having a celebration for their birthday, and they wanted to raise money, and it was for us because we had helped them 15 years ago.
And just your use of the word family, it just is... such, you know, a nice thing to say that you can provide these at-risk or homeless youth with, you know, a family to make them feel like they do belong and that they are welcome in this society and that there is a place for them. Now, Brett, just finally, if people would like to find out more about 2010, where can they go?
Right, well, there's a few things. We've got our website would be the first place to go, which is www.20thewordand10.org.au. If anyone wants to find out more about any of the services that are in their states or territories, they can call QLife, which is the counselling service that runs every night, and that's 1-800-184-527. And they can also go to www.qlife.org.au, and that'll give you a range of services and referral options across the state. And if you don't want to ring up or you're a bit nervous about that, they also have chat, web chat as well. So I would definitely recommend people figure out what's in their state, because there are some great providers in their state.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Brett. It's been just wonderful speaking to you, and it's great to hear that there are community organisations out there that are just doing such amazing work to help people who are at risk or who are homeless, you know, that really need support right here, right now.
Great. Thank you very much, and thanks for doing the show. And remember that it's Youth Homelessness Matters Day, which is a national day to raise awareness on Wednesday.
Great. Thanks, thank you, Brett, very much.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.